is worthy. Amen. He alone is worthy. Can you say amen tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word, and maybe I'll talk a little bit after that, but I like to get right into the Scriptures. Maybe that'll keep me focused. I don't want to keep you all night. I try not to anyways. I don't know why. I preach about the same no matter what. So let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Continue on our series we've been going on, The Original Has Returned. If I can deliver this in the way it was given to me, we'll have a good time tonight. I don't know. I got to rest up not preaching, but at the same time, it makes you kind of blow up a little bit. I think you get a little too pressurized when you don't preach for a little while. You get there, and Brother Branham talks about it. You're sitting there and hearing somebody else preach, and you're just about to come out of your seat and go up there and help him, because you just start feeling so good, get a good thought going. And we were visiting Brother Nathan Arendt, Nathan Bryant. That's right. Too many Nathans around, but Nathan Bryant there, he's Brother Morse, if you know him, it's his nephew. Started church a few years before we did here. He's a bosom friend of mine, good service, it was wonderful. So I'll speak more a little bit after we read the Bible. So let's go to Isaiah 1 and just down to verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate. As overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. See, sister, cucumbers, they just ain't no good. I just got that fresh right now. Well, verse 9 is really where I want to focus. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. I'd like to preach tonight, why a remnant? Why only a very small remnant? Let's bow our heads as we approach His Word. Do you have a need? Every head closed, or every eye closed, every head bowed. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up? Say, Father, you know my heart. Speak to me tonight. God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us here tonight. Well, there's many other places we could be, but there's something in our hearts that just wants to do what the Word told us to. You said, gather the more as we see that day approaching. I see your children here, Lord, wanting the Word of God to feed their souls. And as a man, I know I can't help them. But Father, you placed a gift in my life. I pray that I'd be able to move aside and the Holy Spirit could take preeminence and feed your children. Lord, my soul's hungry. I need a fresh touch from heaven as well. We pray, Lord, that you'll discern our hearts. And if there be any wickedness, the Word would come and cut that thing off, Father. And we'd be a better Christian than before we got here. Any here that doesn't know you, may they find you today. If there's any here that's empty and just drained of the Spirit, oh God, may you send a fresh rain down on that soul and revive it back to full fellowship again. If there's anyone here sick, I pray that tonight they leave well. You know our hearts, Father. May you discern what we have need of tonight. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the thanks for all the wonderful things you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate the Lord keeping us safe. We had a couple few close calls, and my wife don't know nothing about it, but I do, behind the steering wheel. And I just thank God that I don't have to ever be afraid, because He's got His angels encamped about me no matter where I go. And I might be one of the few people that believes that, but the Scripture says the angel of the Lord encamps about those that fear Him. And I know in my heart I respect this Word more than anything in life. And the Word is Christ. And knowing that if we give our little bit to Him, how much He turns and gives back in return, how I thank Him for it. Well, we had a good trip down there. I got to listen to most of what Brother Alexander preached. Seemed like y'all had a pretty good time on Sunday. Those of you that were here, if you weren't, I'm sure if you went to the house of the Lord, you had a good time. You know, as I told you before, I've never seen anybody go to church and say, man, Lord told me to stay home. It doesn't work that way, does it? If anything, it works the other way. Man, I should have been at church tonight. Man, I should have been at church today. Well, that's why we get conviction. It's not because God hates us, because He loves us. And He's trying to bless us, and we go and try to do something our own way, our own thought, and mess it all up, and we got to sit here and reap for it. And the whole time He's saying, all you had to do is do what my word said, and you'd have been just fine. And it's really not hard. How many know, or let me say, it might not be easy, but it definitely ain't complicated, serving the Lord. It's pretty simple. I didn't say easy now. That's two different ideas. It's a simple thing. Just feed on the word. And then contrary to the words of the devil, that makes it really easy to find who he is. The only time you ever get confused is when you start making a new plumb line somewhere. Well, it has to be the word plus my feelings. Then I know it's okay. No, it's either the word or it's not the word. You forget about your feelings. You forget about your interpretations. God don't need you to interpret his word. He interprets it himself when he brings it to pass. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, it's a lot easier to just quit thinking so much and say, you know what, God, you said this. I'll say amen. Said, no one can come to you except the Father draws him first. And here I am coming to you. I guess that means that the Father drew me first. Hallelujah. We had a time of fellowship down there. Got to spend time with friends and family and things. But no, I miss you all too much. We had to get back as soon as possible. We left this morning. I made sure we got up and get going because I was like, I got to see them people tonight. I can't do it. I can't do another service. I got to get back. So by the help of the Lord, we made it. And if I don't see you tomorrow, Merry Christmas. If that's okay to say, I think the prophet said that. And don't worry, I'll keep it balanced today, I'm sure. We'll get to it. I'm just going to have to hold off for a second. I want to preach first, and maybe that'll get put in there. But it's good to see you all. Hope you missed me. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there's a balance there. If I'm not here and the service goes flat because the pastor ain't around, something wrong. Okay? You talk better than that. You don't need me here to have a good time in the Lord. But if you didn't miss me at all, I'd say something's a little wrong too. Maybe you don't want the pastor around, man. So there's a nice middle ground in there somewhere. And I pray that's where we find ourselves tonight. Do you love the Lord? Yes. Amen. 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 And I'm going to try to make sure I didn't forget nothing. And we'll get there. All right. Well, tonight I like to preach on this idea of why is there only a remnant that's going to be saved? You can go right here where we are in Isaiah. And it sounded pretty awful. You know, I told you we're going to have a good time. And I started reading the scripture. I'm sure some of you thought, wait a minute, what's Brother Andrew talking about? Well, now, how many times I got to tell this church, now look, who are you? Are you born again in the Spirit of God? Well, then when you hear the negative, when you hear this all sinful nation, you shouldn't be applying yourself to that because you might have been in that nation, but you've been converted. That old man that you were talking about in that nation that had putrefying sores, that had no remedy, that couldn't be rebuked because they wouldn't listen no more. Trust me, we all got the same flesh. I don't care who you are. You got a part of you that won't get converted. But that's not you as a believer. That man is dead. You are to reckon him dead by the blood of Christ. And the Holy Ghost is a witness to us that we are the children of God. And that's who we're talking about. Now we get to this, and God, as we know, saved Israel as a nation. He called out Israel as a nation. Yet why did so many of them die in the wilderness? Why did so many of them backslide time and time again? Why was it, no matter what God did, there was only a little remnant that actually made it all the way? You would think that a God that knows everything, that draws out a plan, will get a little bit better success rate than about, what, 0.001%. We got real quiet there, didn't we? Because it's the truth, and I'm going to hope we break this up a little bit here. Because Isaiah, as we know, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. It's an outline, but praise God, we don't have to look at an outline anymore. We've been given the Word without restriction, without a veil whatsoever. Every single veil before Christ was torn when those seals were opened 50 years ago. And we are standing in the most glorious light that's ever been on the face of this planet and ever will be. Because when we walk into eternity, it will not be anything new. It will only be a continuation of what we received here. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you look in the New Testament, Paul picks up this thought of Israel is supposed to be saved as a nation. And we know that all Israel is not Israel. And that's where we're going with this. Not all churches are the bride. And not all bride, in parentheses now, is really the bride of Jesus Christ. There's only one bride. There's been churches, brides, brides. But there's got to be one. Amen. Turn to the book of Romans with me tonight. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, and let's just go to verse 25. Romans 9, 25. As he also said, he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Amen. Isaiah, which is Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel, the elect of God, and Abraham, though they be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work. See, there's the first difference. Man don't get to choose how to finish this. The Lord will. So the way the Lord does it is the way it's going to be, because last I checked, you and me ain't God enough to know how to do everything right. We're pretty limited if you want to start breaking it down. I think man thinks he's pretty smart. But when you start looking at everything, and I mean knowing everything, we don't know squat. Most of you, be honest, you don't even really know yourself. One day, especially a woman, but I'm going to duck down. One day she knows what she wants, next day she ain't got a clue, and then it's back to what the first thing was. And us men have learned, I think, after a while to just sit back and wait a while. They'll eventually figure something out, and you know what? It's the same as the church of the living God. How many times do we put Christ through the same thing? Well, Lord, I want this, but no, maybe we'll change a little bit here and that, and I know you can put that on my heart, but I don't know. Maybe I should spice it up a little bit and just go back to the beginning. Go back to the original and just stick with it. Amen. Amen. He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. See, if Jesus would cut it short in sin, oh my, we'd find all kinds of souls make it over, wouldn't we? Because if he cut it off and say, it's all right if you're still drinking, no big deal. Rapture's coming, that's fine. Well, you might be make a pretty good Catholic, but you're not going to make a pretty good Christian. I'll tell you that right now. And you can still cuss and drink and skip church for some family tradition. Told you I'm going to get there. And make an excuse because, well, so-and-so might get mad at me and if I do this. And I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you a lot. Time to repent and call sin, sin. If something drags you out of the house of God, it wasn't God. It was the devil. If something gets you from not reading the Word of God and say, it's all right, no big deal tonight. You can miss your family devotions one night. If anything like that comes in your life, that is the devil. Tradition's not a bad thing in itself. Why are we here Wednesday night at 7? It's tradition. Why are we here Sunday at 12? It's tradition. It's when tradition usurps the Word of God. That's when you need to not be like Lot down there, big backwash, lukewarm sissy. You need to be a man like Abraham. Says, you know what? You can look towards Sodom all you want to. I ain't going that way, Lot. Amen. You're my cousin or my nephew, and I love you. But I'm sorry, this is where you cross in the line. I'm a Christian. And you'll never convert your lost loved ones living a lukewarm life. You show me who Lot converted.
That's right.
Who'd he get to? You ain't going to find nobody. And the only ones that even got saved were his daughters, and you know what they were like. We'll just leave that one alone. But there ain't no benefit. The only reason Lot even stayed alive was because Abraham wasn't willing to compromise, and he stayed up on the hill with Melchizedek. He stayed in his prayer closet. He stayed faithful to what God told him to do. Didn't get persuaded by influence or by tradition or by someone's idea, or I might offend this brother. If that brother gets offended by the word, he needs offended. You'll see it here in a minute, and I ain't pulling this out of the air. It's thus saith the Lord. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us. What did Isaiah say back in the book of Isaiah? A small remnant. And when Paul picks it up, he's got the revelation. Except the Lord had left us a seed.
Amen. Yeah, that's
good. We would have been as Sodom. And we'd have been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness, can you say amen? When you were out in the world, you didn't want to do righteousness. There ain't no Gentile in the world that lives righteously. You give me a Gentile nation, they're filled with adultery, they're filled with drinking and orgy and all kinds of nonsense. Why? Because the Gentiles cannot follow righteousness. But, let me finish. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed, past tense, not after righteousness, have attained Amen. To righteousness. Even the righteousness which is of faith. Oh, come on now. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. People think Brother Branham was making it up when he said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And Brother Branham said, that wasn't upon Peter, you Catholics. That wasn't upon Jesus the man, you Protestants. That was upon the revelation that is by faith of who Christ is. And that's what they stumbled upon. Even now, the Christian church, they can tell you Jesus was here. Or they don't stumble over that. They stumble over that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the same God who healed the sick still does today. The same God who raises the dead still does it today. The same God who can take a heart and purify it by faith to where it doesn't desire the things of the world. He's God today. If there's anyone who can say amen, it's this boy back here. Because something happened in here. It was the Lord leaving us a very small remnant. That little, that seed of God he placed in me before the foundation of the world. And that's the revelation. It's the predestination of God that Israel stumbled over. They said, wait. How can that Samaritan be more righteous than us? How can that woman of ill fame that came and washed? You said though her sins were many, she's made clean. Yet here I am. Yeah, I've got some faults. But God knows my heart. That's the problem. He does. And you're a hypocrite. Because how can you say good things when in your heart you're thinking evil? Hallelujah. But whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Now we're living in a day that is terrible. I don't want to kid you on that. This is Laodicea. And it's the darkest age the world's ever hit. There's never been sin like it has been now. I mean, anytime you talk to anybody that don't believe the word of God, you can't hardly have a conversation anymore because everybody's losing their mind. They're all crazy. They can't even just talk about the weather right. And they're talking. You say, well, I think it's going to rain. Well, yeah, but you know they're putting acid up there to kill us. Well, see you tomorrow. You know, what are you going to say after that? Saying, well, I put my, you know, you get your lunch out of tinfoil. It's like, you know they're sending radar through that, right? Telling, okay, buddy, you know, and I deal with this stuff all the time. My students are the what if questions. I about done answering those things. Well, I understand you believe in God and everything, but what would happen if aliens showed up? I mean, this is every day, and it's like, you don't even get it, kid. And I don't expect them to, because when this world turned down the word of God that was sent seven times around the world, when they said, we don't want nothing to do with that, there's only one place to be left is what we just read there, sinful nation, you're full of sores. What's the point of even trying to rebuke you anymore? You're just sin worse and worse, because you find somebody that's rebellious, you try to correct them, they just get more rebellious. Why? Because they can't get past their own selfish, conceived thought that they're right, even though they're really wrong. And the world is consumed with that. God help the Christian to never get that way. If you look in the mirror and say, man, boy, you're getting along pretty good, I'm going to tell you right now, you're already fallen. There's only one reason you'd ever be getting good is that thank you, Jesus, that you're carrying my soul, that you've got my life in your hands, because if you didn't, I'd stumble and fall every day. Not every day, every minute. I can't even walk, much less run, without you holding my hand. And we think that God don't want us that way. Now, he don't want you crying like a little baby all the time and being a big, you got to come pat you on the back and tell you how great you are. But he is still our Father, which means he's still very intimate with us. Amen. All we got to do is listen and we'll be all right. Isn't that right, little guys out there? If you just listen to mommy and daddy, things go fine. It's when you start doing something else that, oh my, here it comes. But this was prophesied. Let me just read you scripture. It's Matthew 7. 13, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there's no way of getting around the predestination of God. He already knew everything. It is by foreknowledge. We understand that. God never desired to judge anyone. God never wanted to have to destroy things. It was that man decided to destroy himself. And when he did, he brought sin into the world. And God knew, I'm not creating a heaven with sin in it. So he had to judge sin to make it pure for his children. That's right. So why does God bring judgment? It's because he hates sin. But God knew before the foundation of the world that many people, many were supposed to be sons and daughters of God, would choose the wrong path. That they would, every man was given free moral agency and they could either choose life or death. God took his hands off that and allowed us to make the choice and predestinated according to that foreknowledge. You can't separate free moral agency and predestination. They go hand in hand. They're the very same revelation. Because if you choose him, it's because he chose you. And why did he choose you? Because you chose him. They go together. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Now, it's going to be small, and we know, as Brother Bram typed, the church is that pyramid, and I believe it's absolute. The more we go on in time, the less and less and less there is until there won't hardly be nothing left, and that's where we're at right now. But the Lord left. Don't think it's zero. The Lord left a very small remnant. The Lord left a seed. Look, the prophet said the bride's here. That was 50 years ago, and she was a baby, he said, but she's grown up. Amen. And she's going to be there because I'm there. Amen. And there ain't going to be no rapture without me. Right. You got to say the same now. Don't think I'm exalting myself. You know me better than that. I'm just trying to demonstrate the faith that we ought to be at this point in time. Amen. The fact that many people are going to hell is not because God desired, nor should it sway our faith in what is truth. It should only solidify what we do believe. Amen. Brother Bram says this, future home. It's talking about Noah and Enoch. It says, yet Noah was a type of the remnant that's carried over, not the translated bunch. Enoch, one man, went in the rapture before the flood came, showing that the church does not go into the tribulation or anything around it. Enoch was translated, one man. Oh, the church. Now, that's denominational now. The church may be a number, but the bride is going to be a very small group that'll make up the bride. Now, the church may be a great number, but the bride, you see, compare one or eight with one. Eight times less will the bride be than the church. And we get in this idea, we get looking at the negative, we see Laodicea, we see sin on every side, we see souls turning away from the Word, and we think, my, what a terrible day we live in. What an awful place this is. Well, it takes the Holy Ghost to come and show you where to put your focus on. Because the prophet, let me read you one more in the token. He says, if God would have spoke to me back before the foundation of the world, when I was a thought in his mind, so were you. If he'd have said, what age would you want to live in? I'd have said, right now. This is it. The most glorious time that there is. Because in the midst of everyone falling away, there is a bride of Jesus Christ on the earth, and she is predestinated to be conformed into the image of the Son of God, to be exactly like him, that when Christ comes back, it'll be the same ministry on earth that was here 2,000 years ago. Why I know Brother Branham's Malachi 4 isn't because the doctrine lines up with the Bible necessarily. It came more personal than that, because the faith that I have is restored back to what those apostles had. When I see the devil, I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid when somebody frosts on the ground with the devil. Get out of my way. I've seen many message people act scared to death. You need to get the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost knows how to dominate the situation. I've had people look at me funny like, why aren't you worked up? It's like, you don't know who's backing me up right now. I ain't afraid of nothing. He said, that's pretty bold, Brother Andrew. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded, are you? That he's able to keep me against that day. What day? Right now. Amen. It don't matter how dark it gets. I don't care how many devils get on. If I've got the Holy Ghost, me and God's enough. Amen. And if I'm the only one left standing, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm still standing. Amen. And the reason I'm standing is because he stood for me. Hallelujah. It is the greatest day there has ever been for the church of God. We have seen more signs in this little 10 by 15 room than ages saw. Thousands of years waiting for just a miracle one time. And God will hear sick and we go, well, that was nice. But, you know, where's the bride's revival? I'm telling you, if you're missing it, we already talked about the latter rain. That's the season right now that we're living in, and it's not going to be much longer. It's not. That's what the Word said. But praise God, he's going to cut it short in righteousness, and I've already attained righteousness because I sought it by faith, and God gave it to me. Hallelujah. So if he cuts it short in righteousness, I guess I'm going, because I'm in the righteous one. You know what Abraham said in the Church Age book? He said, if we accept that Jesus took our place and became our sacrifice. How many believe? My every denomination in the world believes, or just about, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. And if we accept that, we're saved. Well, in order to do that, you have to also accept that now he has made you the righteousness of God. Not some, you know, let me say it like this. You know, let me put it negative. We're down negative way in sin. God didn't just bring us flat even. He made us positive. Infinite. Up there with him in righteousness. Angels are our servants. Well, maybe I'm the only one that believes that, but they are ministering spirits sent for the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Why can't people see this? This is why there's a remnant. Look, you have to believe. He that believes on him, this stumbling, this revelation, he that believes on that shall not be ashamed. But he that does it will be ashamed. And we know what Jesus said. If you're ashamed of me and my Father, I'll be ashamed of you. Amen. And why can't people see him in this last day? There was a time, and there is a truth to the flesh being the veil. But I want you to understand that many people believe in the flesh of Jesus Christ. They do. They believe that a man walked on earth. That was God made flesh. They might not have full understanding, but you know what? If you have a right heart, I believe God does wink at ignorance for that kind of thing. But you're stopping too short of what I'm trying to get at tonight. And that's why you won't be bride material just believing that. There's still another veil that needs to come down. And I'm going to read it to you now. Matthew 15, let's get there. And this is what Brother Branham hit on time and time again. About the veil in this end time. It's still veiled in our flesh. Don't let me get off. I'm not going off a beaten trail by any means. I just want you to understand here in a minute what I'm getting at. Matthew 15. When you turn it, let me get a drink real quick. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die in the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And then they had a 12-page Bible study, and he did it well, and Pharisees said, oh, okay, Jesus, we see where you're coming from. That might be some New Age translation, but that ain't what the Bible said.
Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And you wonder why I've been so adamant when people want to bring their little traditions and their little ideas, and they want me as a pastor to teach it as doctrine, when the Bible said right here to do that, you take the word of God and you make it of none effect. I don't care what your little idea is. If it's not in the word of God, it's not doctrine for the church. It might be fine for you. It might be some personal conviction that you're supposed to walk by. I'd go praise him for it. But if it ain't the word, it's not a commandment, and it's not the doctrine of the church.
Amen.
What would you do if you saw me walk into a Buddhist temple and go in there and take their little sacrifice and eat some of it with them? Would that offend you? It did some people in Paul's time. We understand that. But he said, don't be sacrificed to an idol. I understand. I gave thanks to the right God. I knew the truth. He saw some other people that said that they were down there worshiping in some kind of, you know, denominational affair of some sort, down to the unknown God. And Paul walked up there and he said, well, that's all right, boys. I'll use that. But we're going to bring you to the right path because I know who this God is.
Amen.
And I understand we've got our little things and the important part is on both ends. First, you don't get offended. Don't be a big sissy about the word now. Don't get offended. Somebody don't see something the same way as you, it's all right. Move on.
Right.
No, side, try to respect if you know somebody don't like something the best you can. Amen. But don't go around teaching for doctrine things that aren't doctrine. And that's why people got so mad with Brother Branham, because of his teaching of grace. They didn't like that because they had their rules. They had their regulations for who's in and who's out and who's this and who's that. And we've done it times 10 in the message compared to any other group I've ever met. We've got all these kind of rules and stipulations. There's only one way you're in. That's by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that Holy Ghost will take you, lead and guide you into all truth. So you're not going to believe some other message. There's just no getting around that. It's as much saying you're going to be saved in the days of Noah, but you didn't get on the ark.
Right.
No, sir. That's the same as saying you're going to get translated, but you didn't walk like Enoch did. No, you're not going to make it. You had to walk that way. And though there was only one man, I believe there's a bride of Christ standing on the earth today. Though the world might not miss them when they're gone, they're still here, and they are shining forth the greatest light that's ever been. If you can't see it, chances are you got a tradition in the way.
Amen.
Well, I know the Holy Ghost moves when, you know, Brother Andrew does this. I'm telling you, you laugh and you know you need to overcome some of that stuff. Well, if you preach a little bit louder, maybe I get more. Some people want you to preach quieter. What do you want me to do? You know, it's, and not just me, but any minister for that matter. Let's go change our gifts. Let's match. Let's all preach like Donnie Reagan and make sure I bounce on one foot like it. And come on now. And or I need to be, you know, slow and sophisticated like other ones. They're just mighty teacher. That's all fine. How about I just be who I am? You be who you are, because God made us his children, and he threw down all our traditions when he went and gave us all the Holy Ghost anyways.
Amen.
Didn't really worry about it to God, did he? And that should be our attitude. If that man, and look, brother, that's what Brother Nathan was preaching on unity, and I really appreciate the way he did it. If somebody, you know, you don't have to compromise on the word to have fellowship. If you do, you've got the wrong fellowship. That's where you get Israel getting with Moab and doing stuff they ain't supposed to. But if they're willing to stand behind the word, even if they don't understand it right or you got a different revelation, if they're willing to stand behind the word, that's your brother.
Amen.
If they come against it, trying to fight it, Brother Branham said, that's your enemy. Don't mean you compromise your beliefs now. Don't ever do that for unity. That'll get you in trouble.
Right.
You stay. If you got, you might have to walk alone. I believe we're getting there pretty close, pretty fast. And you might have to walk all by yourself, but you stay on what the Word says. And if a brother wants to sit there and says, amen, I believe Jesus Christ died and raised again, you say, praise God, brother. God bless you. That's right. That'll keep the bride. And that's the way the church ought to be. If we get out all this scruple and all these traditions, that's what it is. Oh, you don't go to the so-and-so's church? Oh, you go there, Oh, I know about them. Oh, do you? Most of the time, you've never even been to those people's churches. Most of the time, you never know that pastor from Adam. Yet, you've already passed judgment because he goes somewhere. And it's affected all of us at one time or another, because I know how the devil, I know his devices. And I know, especially as a pastor, usually if he comes after me with something, that means it's in the church because he wants the church to overcome. You believe that? This gift ain't for Brother Andrew. This is for us, all of us here, to hear what God wants us to hear. Hallelujah.
Now, let me keep going here. And he called the multitude. This is verse 10 there in Matthew 15. And said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Come on. This is usually compromise time for some of us. Brother Nathan brought a story. I'm going to bring it up right now. He said Brother Branham had a meeting, and he had a bunch of, I think the oneness are the ones that invited him, and it was a man he invited up that he knew was a minister that was a Trinitarian. And he said, come on up here, brother. Come up here and sit with these other ministers. And they met up with him afterwards, and they said, Brother Branham, you brought a man that believes in Trinity. We don't believe that around here. It's like well, that man's a brother. He's the finest man I've ever met. I believe God gave him the Holy Ghost, and I believe there was a dispensation for that. And time's going on. I hope that's okay. But he said, yeah, that man's the finest man I know. He said, well, Brother Branham, if you're gonna do that, we're gonna have to draw a circle and draw you on out. And brother was saying, well, that's all right, but I'm gonna do one more better than you. I'm gonna go ahead and draw a bigger circle and bring you right back in. Now, too many times, and you might think this doesn't happen in the message, but it does. Brother Ram could have very easily pulled this brother aside and say, you know what? I know you believe the Trinity, brother, but you know what? I still think you're a brother, and we can have private fellowship. I'm not kicking you out by any means. But, you know, these men over here sponsor my meetings. They pay for my way. And I'm going to lose a lot of open doors if I have you up there. So I'll tell you what. I mean, we'll fellowship privately, but as far as open, I'm going to ask you to just go ahead and sit down. Teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. Right. You got to watch it. And I've heard this in minister talks before. And I've shot it down every time I hear anything like that. Anything involves politics and being afraid about you're going to be okay or not if you say this. And you got to make sure you don't say this around this person and this one. Look, if you got to get compromised on the word of God to keep a job, you need to get rid of your job. Because you're going to send your soul to hell for a meal ticket. That's why I appreciate Brother Branham so much. He was a man of character no matter who was looking. He didn't compromise. He said, look, I ain't going to do it. If you don't want him to sit up there, then you go ahead. I won't come to your meetings. That's fine. Yes. Hallelujah. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What is Jesus saying here? And we're going to bring this right now. Jesus was saying, if they are a part of the very small remnant, if they're a part of the seed of God, and I'm here to seek and find those that will receive the word, I don't care if there's 1,000 unbelievers that are going to get mad about it. I'm going to say the word to quicken that one right there because they're my son and daughter, and I care about them more than everybody else's feelings. There is a such thing as being tactful, and I believe Jesus was the best at it. But when push came to shove, he did not compromise on the word. He said, you're getting mad at these brothers over here because they didn't wash their hands. They didn't follow your tradition. They didn't sing the way you did. They did different. They did a different order of service than what we do. They sat this way. They raised their hands this way. They go out to lunch here, and I don't believe in doing that. Tradition, and you go to church and you don't see God, you don't see miracles with them happening all around you with the presence of God so close, it's closer than a brother. Yet you don't see it because your whole being is covered in a veil of tradition. And some of us, if we're not careful, we might have come out of this group or that group, and we'll go ahead and tag that tradition along with us. We believe the message, but, you know, the Baptist message, the Pentecostal message. See, no, we got to get rid of it. If it's not in the Word, and I mean the revealed Word, too. No, I believe this prophetic message more than I put my whole life on it, and I tell anybody that's got a sense of a hill of beans, put your life on this message, it lives. It lives. You give me something else that makes Jesus Christ come off these pages and live in the hearts of a man, and I'll follow that, but nothing else does it but this truth. Hallelujah. God promised that there would be a day, a That's not day or night, but in the evening time, which is where we're at, there will be light.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. The unveiling of God, 1964. But in the last days, he is supposed to return again. But a pillar of fire is supposed to come back again to manifest the Son of Man, see, to show the Word, the light. The traditions will be wiped away. There's nothing going to bother. It's going to be done anyhow. God, just tear them denominations and traditions down. What kind of a spirit will he do with it? Like he did in the first place. Look what he done in the days of Elijah, in the days of John. Don't you say within yourselves, you have Abraham to the father because God is able to these stones to rise children to Abraham. See, don't you think because I belong to this and I belong to that. See, tearing off the veil, see, to show you who he is. See, watch the veil when it rents here now. We find now. Now at one time, if a man walked through that veil, it was sudden death. Now it's death not to go.
Amen.
If you, listen, this is where I'm bringing you to. Why is there a small remnant is what I'm about to say right here. If you can't break that veil of tradition, break through that wall of denomination to see God in his power, it's death. My. Once, where it was death to not go in. What is he talking about? The high priest. We know he was the only one permitted. He had to have certain garments and all those things. And even if he didn't do it right, they put bells on him. So when he got in there and he was worshiping, because you move when you really worship God. Just in case you believe in stationary worship, there ain't no such thing in the Bible. If he stopped moving because he fell down dead, didn't do what he was supposed to, according to the word, they had to pull him out with a rope. But if anybody else do even dare to go in there, death right now. And even if a beast touched the mountain,
right,
it needs to be thrust through with a dart.
Right.
But something changed.
Yeah.
Because what was keeping the sons of God out of there was settled on Calvary.
Yeah.
When God took the punishment upon himself, tore his veil, the flesh veil in half, and he showed, we know, is a perfect sign of the mercy. I'll get to that here in a minute. I should have just kept on reading. Once where it was death to go in, now it's death to stay out. The whole mercy seat is set in plain view. Anybody can see it. The veil is rent. Glory to God. The whole mercy seat comes into plain view. Excuse me. I'm going to need a drink here. I pray this is speaking to you.
Yeah.
And at the pillar of fire, if we do have traditions, look, we're not going to rapture with these man-made traditions. They've got to come down because we see Christ with that.
Yeah.
Come down. Well, God has to do it this way. Did he say it in the Word? Well, I don't know, but that's just the way it always worked for me. Don't work that way. Because then what happens, you go using that standard against this brother over here, does things a little bit different. And that happens more with ministers than anybody. Oh man, if this brother really had the Holy Ghost, he'd do it like this, or he'd be like that. If it ain't in the Word of God, you don't got no business judging nothing.
Amen.
But if it is the Word, you stand for it. Absolutely. Don't compromise on this Word. That's just as much death as not going in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But God has torn the veil. There is no reason why anybody should be lost. And that's the whole world around. That includes Cain, Balaam, all the way down. They shouldn't have been lost.
Amen.
But what happened? They were veiled to the truth, and the blind led the blind right into the ditch. Not because God didn't provide sight. It's because they didn't want it.
Amen.
It's not because there was no light to shine in the darkness. The Bible says the light came, and this is the condemnation, that men loved the darkness more than the light. It didn't say they didn't love the light at all. Oh my. Many people like the message for what it does. It makes your boy straighten up, don't it? Makes him a good kid. And no, that ain't what we're talking about. You either fall in love with Jesus or you missing the whole point. A lot of people serve God because of what they get out of it, not what they can give out of it. And that's when you know you're wrong. And have an expectation when you come to the house of God, and God won't answer, but what do you want it for? What do you want joy for? Just for yourself, so you can go and say, ooh, I'm joyous. You don't want to share no joy with nobody else? Come on now. Come on. How about when you come to the house of God? How about, I'm just here, Lord. I don't even need you to give me none today. Here's what I want. I want to be able to raise my hands in public and say, I love you. Amen. And let the world know what side I'm on. Amen. I think God will honor that kind of faith a lot quicker than that selfish, no good kind of faith. Amen. So what is it? God unveiled himself, and not only did he do it, the flesh veil 2,000 years ago, but in this age, through the prophet of God, he tore down the tradition veil. But many men won't let it go, and they run quickly to go sew it back up. Why? They need a following. They need those to, you know, pays heavy on the plate, and those that like this idea, well, I'll go ahead and say that, and that's not the bride Jesus is coming for, and that's why there's only going to be a remnant. God didn't desire that. God, remember it says in the Bible, it's his will that none should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. See, God still calls the shot. It's not just all would come to him. Listen to me now. Because in vain do they worship me. Cain built an altar to God. He came to God, but he didn't come through the way he needed to. He needed to repent.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And a lot of times, what won't let you repent? Your tradition. I'm in the message. It's okay. Oh my, somebody's getting tore up because I feel like I can't hardly stand up here much. I love you. I don't want to hurt you, but the truth's the truth. Don't be persuaded by brother so-and-so you think spiritual. If you know they're telling you to do something that deep down right here you see it in the Word and it's convicting you. But how could I offend that brother? How could I do this and that? And I feel the same thing. I want you to understand that. I'm a young minister. I understand. There's people that have been preaching a lot longer than me that might make different decisions than I do. But I cannot base my decision on that. I have to base it on what the Holy Spirit leads me to do in this Word. Why do we run service the way I do? Because it's the revelation that I believe Brother Branham gave for the church to run the church, and when he gave church order. That's what I, and maybe I'm off here, maybe I'm off there, but I follow it the closest I can because I believe it's the way it ought to be done. I believe it's the way we get results.
Amen.
And I know there's many churches that don't believe in that, and we have to do this thing, and we've got to have all this. And Brother Branham Tabernacle, to this day, as far as I know, have a piano and an organ. Do we have to have 20 musicians to have a good service? Some people believe that kind of stuff. We appreciate 20 musicians that are Holy Ghost filled, but too many times we don't want 20 Holy Ghost filled musicians. We just want 20 good ones. And we'll pick a good one over a Holy Ghost filled one. I've seen it firsthand. Put a sinner up there. God have mercy on their souls, because it doesn't matter how good it sounds. When it's anointed by the devil, that's what you're going to get.
Amen.
What's great about this age, God help us, is not the quantity. It's the quality of what God has brought.
Amen.
The sons of God have manifested all of time.
Right.
But this is the age where they, where she can be him. Without any disruption. As Paul said, the only time Paul had the revelation, nobody believes that. Revelation given to the church of God. But he said one thing. Right now, holding a glass darkly. But then, and I know it's there, we'll see face to face. And if you can get a revelation of this message, you're there. Your point Paul thirsted for. Unless you believe there's an eighth messenger. Unless you believe there's going to come another revival through, I'm telling you, those days are done. It's the Word being manifested in the greatest quality it ever has. Because the sin question has been settled. Traditions have been settled. We don't have to guess and stew. Who is Jesus? Who am I? What am I doing here? How did I get saved? Why am I saved? You all that know the message, answers to every single one of those questions, and servant of God after servant of God have probed through this Word trying to find that.
Amen.
Read the same Bible you did. Why couldn't they see it? Time yet. But praise God, if I could live in any day, I picked right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me give you some quotes here as we'll finish. Perfect faith. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it, and he come, and it come. How many wants perfect faith? Where you don't doubt, sure, you just stay around in the Word all the time, every time. How many wants that? All right, here's how you get it. And it come because he was the Word. And you,
amen.
You become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me read you another. Uniting time and sign. Uniting. We see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the churches uniting. We see the bride uniting. Uniting with the Word. See, you're not going to see the message unite. It will not work that way. But I believe there's saints in every local assembly. They are uniting to the Word. And as they unite to the Word, they unite together to where you can go to somebody from India and you're just brothers. You can go to somebody from Cambodia, I don't care where. If they're part of the Bride of Christ, something will just gel right together. And the parasites that are coming off, those that are getting offended, you just let it go. Jesus, don't you know the Pharisees are offended? Message believers, don't you know that legalist offended? Yes, sir. Do you know that lukewarm person's offended? Yes, sir. Do you know that person that wants to worship Christ is offended? Yes, sir. You know that person that hates Christmas is offended? Yes, sir. Just like, and we'll just, I'm going to do it. Tomorrow's Christmas. You got a little time?
Yep.
Christmas is a fine tradition to use for the glory of God. Why? We can get a day off to worship Him. It should be a day of worship.
Amen.
Too many times, we take the tradition over the Word of God to where we don't make it to the house of God. We don't do our devotions on Christmas because we're too busy with family things. You're hearing me now, aren't you? We don't worry about giving God praise. We're worried to make sure we get everyone gifts so they don't get mad at us. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, giving gifts, praise God. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you we shouldn't give gifts to each other. That's why I always had a hard time with those people that just get so upset about Christmas in every will of way. I'm like, don't you want people to be nice to each other? Why don't you want people to give gifts? I thought we were supposed to, it's better to give than to receive. I thought that's what the Scripture said. And as far as that goes, as long as you got a pure heart and you just want to bless somebody, do it. The problem is we like to do it one time a year. Why don't we try to do that often, when you know the Holy Spirit moves on you and says, I know you only got 20 bucks left and you're wondering how you're going to me, but give it to that little widow woman there that's going to need it. And I'll tell you right now, God has always supplied 100-fold when I've taken Him on faith. I can go back. I remember one in particular time. It was actually all the way back Brother Tom's time when I went there. The Holy Spirit told me to give an extra $50. It wasn't until about 6-7 years later when I bought a house at the bank. I was supposed to go through one bank. They said, we don't have any more money for welcome home. But she said, instead of ripping me off, she said, but there's another bank. I'll give up this. I'm going to give it up. You go to this bank, they'll give you $5,000. Gave me the Holy Spirit, and clear as day, said, that's because you gave 50 way back then. He said, I'll reward you 100-fold. I didn't seek that. I was just praying about it, and I just committed it to God. When I got my job, look, I do not compromise for tradition. It was online registration for Finley. Where do they call those? Expos, where they got 100 schools there. And I'm about ready to get married. I got to get a job. It's in April. I'm getting married in June. I'm working at a restaurant. How am I going to supply for a family? The registration was over at 4 o'clock on Sunday, or at 6 o'clock, sorry. No, that ain't right. It was still open until I got, because I had two services where I was going. I knew I wouldn't get home till 6:30, 7 o'clock, and registration started on Sunday at noon. That's what it was. And you know what the devil told me? You're just going to have to miss second service. Make sure you get in there and register in time for Defiant City Schools. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. The Word of God told me to go to the house of God, so I'm going to go. Come on now. I went to both services. You said, most people say their tradition is, well, I went one. That's enough. That's not what the prophet told me. He said, every time the doors are open, you ought to be in there. And that's my absolute. I don't care about your opinion. I don't care about your doctrine. What the prophet said is my absolute. And he said, I should be in there. If I've got any love for God in my heart, I should be in that house every chance I can. And I went to both services. Praise the Lord. Got home. Guess what? Registration full. I said, all right, Lord. Applied for a few others just because I needed a job. I needed a job. But I could tell you back when I was 19 years old, I was already told by God I'd be teaching at Defiance High School when my brother was a junior in high school, and he'd be there 2 years when I started. I'd teach when he was there for 2 years, and that's exactly what happened. I went to go to my interview. They had open forum for an hour there. And I'm standing, or you can just go to any table you want to. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go by and see what's up. So I walk over there, and before I say a word, he says, hey, you're Math. You want a 4 o'clock? Yes, sir. Wanted to take my interview. I think I said about 3 words. He said, well, second interviews are on this time. Went to go on my second interview. I got there a little bit early, and they let me sweat it out in the office for a good 45 minutes because they were working on the person before me, and during that time I was praying, and the Bible says, in that hour, don't take no thought because it will be given to you what to say in that hour. Amen. And sure enough, as God is my witness, he told me to say a certain line. I didn't know how. I didn't know how I'd lead up to that, but sure enough, when it got to the end of my interview, my boss, or he's my boss now, but the principal said, Andrew, I want to ask you something. He said, you show me all this stuff, and it's all good, it's all great, but what makes you different than the other candidates? And all I did was say what God told me to say. When I got the call a couple weeks later, he said, the reason you got this is because of that answer at the end of your interview. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. I'm going to go ahead and break a little bit more. My college here, when I was getting my master's, I'll be done in a week, the good Lord willing, praise his name. I'll bring it in here as a testimony. But here's what I want to tell you. I was looking at the contract. We just got a new contract, and I get tuition reimbursement for how many credits I take. And I knew that on my, I knew there was a, on the old track, there was 12. It was a cap of 12 credits. As I said, so I turned in my first 12, and just to let you know, I've done 28 in the matter of 6 months. It's supposed to take you 2 years. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, seek you first the kingdom, and you'll be able to do these things. I've been able to take classes that are supposed to take 3 months and do them in 3 days. How? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I didn't quit reading the Word to do it. I didn't quit praying to do it. Now, I didn't mean I just sit around and twiddle my thumbs and say, God, you do it. No, we're joint workers. We work together. I still put forth the effort, but I said, Lord, I'm going in your name. Come to find out, they sent out a new contract here just a couple days ago before break got here. I went to look, and just for whatever reason, I said, let's look at tuition reimbursement. I'll just check it out. Come to find out, for whatever reason, they don't know why, the cap was taken off. I had 6 more credits that I haven't turned in yet. I went and asked. I asked the head of the union, can I do this? He said, it looks like it was an oversight, but it's in the contract. Get those turned in. And if they reject you, let me know. Long story short, because I can turn that in, my school is paying me to go to college. Yeah. Why? Sold out. Seek first the kingdom of God. You say, well, I'm the only one who does it this way. Brother so-and-so says I should do this, I should do that. No, sir. You stay with the Word of God. I don't care what his opinion. I don't care if he's a good businessman. His opinion might be wrong. I don't care if he's successful. If it's contrary to the Word, you let it go. Success don't mean it's success in Christ. Success in the world. And you know I ain't saying that to give glory to myself, that I'm some good, smart person. No, Brother Andrew couldn't have done this. But the Holy Spirit can.
Yes, amen.
Last I checked, he was pretty smart.
Amen.
He knows how to write papers. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few quotes and we'll wrap it up. I hope that little testimony wasn't too bad there. But Christmas, as far as I'm concerned, worship God, praise him for it. But don't give me none of that Santa Claus rinky-dink nonsense that goes, don't teach your children that trash. You teach them about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know if I can go for a Christmas tree, but see, I'm smart enough to know that that's my conviction. That's me. You want one? Praise the Lord. But I ain't going to go for no Santa Claus. I'm sorry. That to me is just straight idle. You ain't getting nowhere with that. But for your little kiddies, and that's why the prophet did it. And I've seen 80-year-old people want to put up Christmas trees. Sorry, but you shouldn't need that thing no more. It's for the little kiddies because they don't understand what it's all about, do they? That's why, and if you got grandkids and things like that, I think that's great for them. That's really the main reason I don't want to do it, because I don't want to fuss with it, because I know who gets it out, I know who puts it up.
Amen.
That's this man behind the pulpit. I watched my dad do it for years. I had to do it with him for years. But he's got one, he puts up for our kids. We all get a guy's fear, that's good enough. We'll just do that and skip out a step of it. But I don't know. Am I saying I'm never going to have one? I hope you understand. I don't know. I don't care. And I'm not going to make a doctrine out of it because that's a coming. Same with Easter. Don't come around and tell me about some dumb Easter egg hunt and some Easter bunny and all this trash. especially the most sacred thing that ever happened on the planet. Don't take the death of my Lord like that. The only reason I'm standing is because of what happened on Easter morning. Thank you, Lord. Let me read you some quotes. We'll wrap it up here. Christ's mystery, God revealed. We're talking about the remnant of God. I hope this is making sense to you. The seed of God is why. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in His church. The preeminences. All that God was, He poured into Christ. And all Christ was, He poured into the church, the believers. Believers. Not the prophet. Believers. Brother Bram said the wave sheaf was rain. What was it? He said the Holy Ghost. And he was. I believe he was the first one to get it. Don't get me wrong there. Absolutely, I believe that. But that didn't mean that there wasn't for all of us to see.
Amen.
That we were part of this too as it started waving. Hallelujah. Let me skip down. Predestinated. There's the mystery. He, before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see His great mystery that He chose the bride? Knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the Word, knowing that she would fail or fall, but He would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to that Word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that Word. They're predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that great, glorious stand. Let me skip down a little bit more. How did He? What happened in the prefigure now? He opened Adam's side, took part of His flesh, which was Adam, to Eve. The bride has to be the Word, for He is the Word. She cannot stand on creeds. She cannot stand on denominations or traditions or whatever. She cannot stand on good behavior. She has to stand alone on the Word because she is part of it. She was taken from Christ, see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to be ever so careful. We have to stay with the Word. We have to stay. Well, brother, I feel this way. Brother, you've got to stay with the Word. If you don't see your feeling resonating back to the Word, then your feeling is wrong. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says this, and the prophet was no exception. It says, "He that believes," Shalom 1964, "He that believeth on Me has everlasting life. He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me has eternal life and shall never come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life." I'm following the beating of the Word. Amen. Not the beating of my heart. The beating of the Word. No matter what it is, if my heart don't beat with the Word, then my heart's wrong. Amen. For He is the Word. The Bible tells us that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What I asked Dawson now, I wish I could remember. What did I say? Something along, why do we worship God or something like that? He says, because God is the Bible. The Bible is the Word. Or I said, why do you like the Bible? That's what it was. He said, because the Bible is God's Word. How many little three-year-olds know that? Why? Because I'm sold out. I don't want him saying something else about some stupid TV show or obsessing over this or that. I want him to know what happened to Jonah in the whale. I want him to know that Daniel was in the lion's den, but the angel of the Lord showed up and nothing touched him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's end on this scripture. 1 John 3, turn there with me. And we'll close on this. Merry Christmas. Just like that. Just because it's Christmas, do I got to preach a Christmas message? Some people say you have to. Why? Some tradition of men. No, we'll preach what the Holy Ghost wants to say today. Because Christmas really is just another day. But praise God, we got it off work. Hallelujah. At least I'm hoping everybody does. Brother Rodney, they sneaking you in somewhere? All right, praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because Him not. Because as He is the Word, so are we the Word. Listen now. Because I listened a little bit where Brother Alex was preaching, and I'll bring it together here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What did Lucifer want? I will ascend unto the mountain of the north. I will be like the Most High. Yet the Bible just said, what kind of love has God bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? To know that when he comes, we shall be like him. The thing that Lucifer lusted after was freely given to us. And I don't care how many devils come, there is a bride of Christ on the world. There's a seed of God still here, and it's been quickened by the word of God. And I believe I'm in a group of 25 people that are partakers of that tonight. What can happen when we believe that? We'll raise up and say, devil, I'm done listening to your lies. I'm a son of God. I'm not going to stay here sick. I'm not going to stay here sad. I'm not going to stay here can't break through with God. I'm breaking through my tradition. I'm a son. I'm staying in the holy place tonight. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We see the bride uniting with the Word. Why? The Word is God. And as the Word, as the bridegroom being the Word, and the bride being the hearer of the Word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding. See, they're getting ready for a wedding, and they become one. The Word becomes you, and you become the Word. And if I could get every believer to just believe that, there would be no devil in hell would ever stop you from the victory of God.
Amen.
There'd be no devil in hell that gets you off the track, but what you wouldn't be able to come right back onto the Word and say, Satan, I ain't moving.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Lord. How many feels good tonight?
Yes.
I just feel like praising the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. Let's sing that. Can we sing that for me? I mean, I'll let you get prayer in here in a minute, but I think we ought to worship Him and thank Him for what He's done. Thank you, Lord, that He made His F, I think, 206. If you don't know, but I think we know this one. Dad, you're going to have to help me.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King.
Time I ever let weather keep me from the house of God. Just listen to me now. This is Brother Andrew. And I'm pastor, so I got to preach what I believe. And we got there, and it had been raining, and every road I went to was flooded. And I was like, man, how am I going to get there? And I decided to go ahead and turn around and come home. I had never felt so down low in my life. And you might say, well, brother, I think that's okay. Well, the Holy Spirit didn't feel that way towards me. And I thought, my, if God could part the Red Sea for 2 million people, I think He could get my car through a little bit of water. Maybe you ain't got faith for that. That's fine. That's, like I said, that's between you and the Lord.
But I knew a brother that went, and I said, "Hey, man, brother, did you make it to church?" He said, "Yes, sir." "So what'd you do?" I said, "Drove right through that water." And I felt about this big. You might say, "Well, brother, that's no big deal and stuff." Well, look, I ain't judging by no other man's standard. I'm judging by his and when he convicts me. So as far as weather, and I live right down the road. If we just have church with me and dad, we'll have church with me and dad. That's all right. Okay, why didn't I cancel a night? I'll even give you this. There was a student who said he might come tonight. That's enough for me to keep these doors open if none of y'all come. Why? I'm looking for a soul. I'm here to preach the gospel. It's not here for some social thing. I've heard ministers this message cancel because only so many people come in church. No, sir. That ain't going to happen around here because I believe the door should be open for souls. That was another thing. I did this once about, February? Right when we started. About a month into starting. We were going to have dedication services. So what I decided that instead of Wednesday night, because we're going to have it, how do we do that, Dad? We had a prayer on Thursday, is that what? And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I said, we're not going to have service Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to come and have prayer. Well, only one showed up was me and Dad, and I don't mean that disgracing. Some of y'all won't even come around then. But Wednesday night, I come to find out later on that one of my ex-students sat there all Wednesday night waiting for church to open. And I said, never again. If my sign says Wednesday at 7, we're going to be open Wednesday at 7. Just that. Now, I can believe God is gracious. He knows all things. But I believe that we might find somebody walk right in here and find out they're a son of God the whole time. Never had nothing to do with the message in any way, shape, or form. What good would it do for them to say, hey, that church is open 12 at Sunday, and they show up and nobody here? Other ministers might do different things. I'm not rebuking them. Can you hear me now? This is what I'm doing here. So, brother, you're going to cancel? The good Lord will never. We have a lot of special services. Not really. Maybe we will in the future. I don't know. I already told you why. I mean, you can't really invite somebody if you're only having church when they are. You know, you're going to make them do something you wouldn't do and miss their church. They ain't going to do that if they're faithful. So, I mean, I believe in that. And you say, well, you trying to proselyte? Well, I'm not proselyte from church to church, but I'm trying to proselyte from death to life. They're staying out there in some system that's going to get them killed. Yeah, I want to proselyte them out of that. People don't think we should convert anybody anymore. What are you talking about? We've got truth. We've got life. I want people to. I'm glad I got proselyte out of that nonsense. Come to this glorious life. So I hope that cleared that up. I don't know why. They just kind of came to me there. I hope that's fine. It's on tape if you want to ask anybody. I said, brother, I said this. So if you see somebody wants to come to church, let them know. Wednesday at 7? Oh, yeah, he'll be there. And I know this man will make it here. Don't. Praise the Lord. And I'm not even trying to condemn y'all. If something happens or it's snowing, you got a 5 foot in front of your house, I ain't telling you ain't got no faith. I'm just saying it's for me and my house. This is what I'm believing. Amen. You all serve the Lord too. This makes sense? I feel like I'm trying to qualify a little too much. I don't believe that. If you believe the word, you ain't going to be offended by the word. You know you ought to be in the house of the Lord every chance you can. Not even, and the Lord blesses us so much. What in the world's wrong with us anyways? And we would even get talked out of. I'll tell you why. You listen to the day. That's all it is. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas. I love you. Appreciate y'all. It is good to be home. Man.
Yes,
thank you, Lord. I ain't trying to disgrace Ellie's family or nothing, but I love Ohio. Yeah, at least this little part of it. Ohio's the best place on the planet. Because as long as Christ is here, he's welcomed in the fellowship. We all believe the word of God. That's where I want to be. Praise the Lord. Well, can we sing that Family of God? I think that's F2, isn't it? How many's part of the family of God? How many's happy you're a part of the family of God? I found it's 2:34 if you don't know it. Hallelujah. I know we don't got all the little guys, but I think they got some Sunday school gifts for you for Christmas out there, right, Sister Bonnie? Praise the Lord. Those that ain't here, they can get it on Sunday, but if you are, you're a little dude, Dawson. He'll get your gift, all right? You two know it. Justin's over there. Wesley, I think he got it for all the Sunday school and long, smaller. So, sorry, Brother Warren. I don't think we got you something, but I'll give you a big hug to make up for it, all right? Well, God bless you tonight. We'll just go ahead and worship the Lord. If there's anybody that needs a prayer before, I don't want to disrupt that, but if you had a need, let's just do that as we sing this. I'll give a little time here.
Cleansed by his blood, join heirs with Jesus.
us as we travel.